Podmoth. Welcome to Bad Axe Podcast. I'm your host, Danielle Blinka.
And I'm your co-host, Aaron.
Bad Axe is brought to you by the Podmoth Media Network. Check out Podmoth for other great podcasts. And just a quick note, you can support Bad Axe by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/badaxepod. And there is a link to that in our show notes. We would like to thank our newest patron, Andrea Brownridge.
Yay! Woo!
Thank you, Andrea, and welcome to our Patreon. We would also just like to give a shout out to our other three patrons, Lane, Donna, and of course, Casey.
Yay!
Thank you. We already have several bonus episodes available on Patreon, and memberships start as low as a dollar. Now for our story today. Today we are traveling from Hallandel Beach, Florida, to Costa Rica in November 2018, on what became a birthday trip from hell. Costa Rica, which is in Central America, is considered a relatively safe country. However, a rash of recent deaths suggests crime may be on the rise. People flock to Costa Rica because it is gorgeous. Absolutely fantastic and just the most beautiful scenery you can imagine. It has jungles, beaches, mountains, waterfalls, volcanoes, hot springs, anything you want, they have it in Costa Rica.
Sounds pretty picturesque.
It attracts adventurers, ecotourists, and people who just want to relax on the beach. And it also has a lot of historical sites you can visit. Historical sites are kind of my jam. So I definitely want to go to Costa Rica.
Yeah, it sounds like a good vacation spot.
Yeah, I like to look at historical things. I like to go out in nature. I like the beach. Everything on this list is for me. It is the perfect place for a vacation. In late November 2018, Carla Stefanik was looking forward to a big birthday bash to celebrate turning 35. As a successful insurance agent, Carla worked hard to build a great life for herself, and she wanted to treat herself.
Hey, why not?
Born in Venezuela, Stefanik moved to Tampa, Florida in the year 2000 at the age of 18. She flourished in the bright Florida sun and eventually built a life for herself in a city called Hallandel Beach, which is close to Miami. Her family described her as a vibrant, funny girl who loved animals and made friends everywhere she went. She loved going to brunch and hitting the town with friends. She had great style, and photos show her modeling cute looks with a bright smile and the kind of charisma that draws people to her. A seasoned traveler, Carla maintained a travel blog where people followed her adventures. Friends say that Carla took photos and videos constantly, sharing everything with friends, and of course her fans. Since she loved traveling, Carla decided it would be the perfect way to celebrate her November birthday. She and her sister-in-law, April, jetted off to Costa Rica for long days in the sun playing on sandy beaches. Stefaniak booked a hotel room at the Villa Buena Vista Resort. The hotel is a suburb of San Jose Escuzu. Carla and April dove into the festivities immediately. Photos posted on Facebook show them posing on beach chairs, frolicking in the water, visiting hot springs, noshing on delicious foods, and relaxing in the tropical environment. They even took a surfing lesson.
Nice.
I know, it sounds like the perfect vacation.
It does.
Unfortunately, Carla's sister-in-law, April, had to go home a day earlier than Carla, but she didn't want to cut her trip short. So, she decided to stay one more day after April flew home. Stefaniak rode with April to the airport and bid her goodbye, and then the Uber driver took her on a tour of San Jose. San Jose, for those of you who don't know, is the capital of Costa Rica. That night, Carla planned on checking into a different, smaller hotel near the airport. This hotel was called Villa Limas, and she found the room on Airbnb. Now, this hotel presented itself as a really safe place for travelers. It's a gated complex with security guards. So it seemed like the perfect place for a woman to stay while she was traveling by herself.
It does sound secure.
Yes. So Carla did everything that she could to find the right hotel for herself. She even went on the reviews, and this hotel appeared to have 5-star reviews from everyone. It looked like a really, really safe place. So she's feeling super excited about her accommodations. When the Uber driver dropped her off at the hotel later, she made arrangements for them to pick her up the next morning at 8:30 a.m. for her flight home. Then she set about enjoying a final evening of birthday celebrations alone. At first, Carla loved the hotel. It had gorgeous views of the forest and mountain range behind the building and seemed like a relaxing place to spend her final night in Costa Rica. However, a thrashing storm appeared as if from nowhere. So she's in this hotel, the storm is hitting, and of course, what happens? The power goes out.
Of course it does.
Yes. Now, suddenly, what looked like a really ritzy hotel all of a sudden seems really threatening.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, we have dark hallways, dark lobby, dark room. Everything's starting to be scary. She texted someone during this, quote, "It's pretty sketchy here," unquote. But remember, Carla is a well-traveled person, so she wasn't going to let the room ruin her last night. In her final text, she told her friends Keith and Laura that she needed some water. She planned to go ask a hotel guard to buy her the bottle of water. And although her friends urged her to stay put, Carla left the room to find something to drink. Which I kind of get, because I'm not sure if it's okay to drink the water in Costa Rica. I know you're not supposed to drink the water in Mexico. So maybe she's in there with nothing to drink. Obviously, you can't just go a whole day without having water.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so she goes out, she goes to find the security guard, who should be a safe person to ask, right?
You would think so.
Carla's phone suddenly went silent at around 8 p.m. on November 27th, 2018. That's the last anyone has heard from her. The next day, a housekeeper, whose name is also Carla, but this is Carla Gonzalez, entered Stefaniak's room to clean it because the security guard on duty told her that the room had already been vacated.
Interesting.
Yes. Now, she says the room seemed a little bit off to her. It was a little bit tidier than it usually would after a guest checked out. She later also said that it appeared Stefaniak had wanted to preserve the room and must have slept on the edge of the bed to keep it so neat.
Okay, that's suspicious.
Yes. Now, all of us are registering that that is very suspicious. But I guess if you're Carla Gonzalez, you might be thinking, wow, my job is going to be very easy today.
Yeah, you probably don't jump straight to foul play, I suppose.
Yeah. And to be fair, also, the lights were out. So, I mean, maybe if the lights are out in the hotel, you have someone who doesn't move around a lot, maybe?
Yeah, I could see that.
Whatever her reasons, Carla Gonzalez does not question any of this at the time. So she just went about doing the remaining cleaning and preparing the space for the next guest. And those guests actually arrived and checked into the hotel room that same day.
Okay.
Meanwhile, Carla's family became immediately alarmed when she didn't arrive home on her flight. One of her friends actually went to the airport to pick her up, but she wasn't there. And an airline attendant told the friend that Carla never got on her flight.
That's a red flag.
Yeah, so super, super red flag. Worse, she wasn't answering their calls and texts, so they knew something was wrong. Because November 28th was her actual birthday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so this is her actual birthday that she's flying home. And so they're all sending her messages. They're leaving her phone messages. They're calling her. They're texting her. Telling her happy birthday. Plus, Facebook is blowing up because she's, like, really popular. And people are sending her these birthday messages. And they know that she's the kind of person who loves celebrating her birthday. All of her friends said that normally she did the whole birthday month thing, where she kind of was like, oh, it's my birthday month. Oh my God, it's my birthday. I'm also a birthday month kind of person. So I totally get that. Although, to be fair, I kind of get tired of it after my actual birthday. And my birthday is 8 days into the month. So so really, I do a birthday 8 days. But I totally get this whole thing, because, like, if I weren't answering the phone on my birthday, that would be a huge red flag.
Oh, yeah.
For people, because I'm a total hoe about celebrating my birthday. And so they know something's wrong with Carla because she's not basking in the glory of having all these birthday messages.
Yeah, absolutely.
So at that point, her family contacts the hotel and Costa Rican authorities, But of course, they tell them that Carla can't be reported missing for 48 hours because she's over 18. Now, I think that's bullshit.
Yeah, 48 hours is a long time.
It is a long time. And also, like, being serious, and I feel like this rule is so, like, I know this is Costa Rica and not the U.S., but even here, I feel like it's just inconsistently applied. And I thought that when you have a suspicious disappearance, shouldn't it just be investigated immediately?
I would think so. I mean, like, with all the statistics about how, you know, like, after the first 24 hours or 48 hours, your chances of finding them alive are so slim. You know, you would think that, like, if you force people to wait 24 or 48 hours to report them in the first place, that, like, your chances of finding anybody that goes missing alive is, like...
It's, like, zero.
Zero, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean...
And I feel like you should definitely be listening to the family, because her family is telling them she had a flight home. She has things to do. It's her birthday. She's not responding to anything. Like, these are actual red flags. You should at least go to the hotel and look.
Yeah, you've got to take the circumstance into consideration.
Exactly. That is my opinion and also Aaron's opinion.
That's correct.
Okay, so Carla's family and friends are not going to just sit around waiting for her. They know the police aren't looking exactly, but they spring into action immediately. While they might not be able to join the ground search right away because a lot of them were in Florida and then her family was back in Venezuela, they launched a Finding Carla Facebook page to try to get the word out and draw attention to her case. And hopefully other people who are in Costa Rica or other tourists might see this and, you know, start looking for Carla. So they're putting out pictures of Carla, information about Carla, anything they had about where she might be, they put it on this Facebook. And it is still live. I got a bunch of stuff from there because they posted, like, all kinds of stuff. A lot of her vacation photos were posted there. So they really did try to do everything they could to get the word out. Additionally, her father, Carlos Quesada, her brother Carlos, and a friend named Greg, yes, that's two Carloses, by the way, flew to Costa Rica to search for Carla. They really like Carlos's name, so I think they just named, like, a bunch of their kids after the dad. So her brother Carlos went to the hotel to talk to the staff and was able to look at her room. So I think this is within, like, a day or two. It's, like, really soon after her disappearance. But it's not right away, because obviously they had to make arrangements to fly there.
Yeah.
When he asked about Carla, because he does talk to the staff told him that a guard reported seeing Carla leave at around 5 o'clock a.m. in a dark car with her luggage.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, so he's saying that she took an Uber that happened to be a dark car, and it took her to the airport, is where she said she was going, at 5 a.m. Okay, so kind of remember this. Now, the police also end up talking to this same guard, and he tells them the same story, and the police are like, oh, mystery solved.
Yeah, she went to the airport. Yeah, she went to the airport.
Yeah, right, so yeah. Initially they're like, yeah, like, this seems legit.
Until you realize she didn't get on the plane.
Exactly, she did not get on the plane. So the family, though, immediately start looking for this Uber driver, hoping that they have the information about Carla's whereabouts, because I think there might be some hope there that maybe she went to another hotel, or maybe she wanted to do, like, a birthday celebration, go to, like, a concert or some kind of museum or something. And so they go to find this Uber driver. In Carla's email, they located the booking for that Uber, which had the driver's name. But when they talked to him, they learned chilling information. Because he told her family that the ride was booked for 8:30 a.m. and that he'd arrived on time to pick her up. However, Carla never came out to the car.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So we have a conflicting story because the hotel guy is saying she left at 5 in an Uber. The Uber that she booked is saying, no, I'm the same guy from yesterday. I had her booked for 8:30. She did not come. So he's waiting out there in his car at 8:30, and a guard comes out and tells him that Carla already left at 5 a.m., so he's not needed.
Man, these guards know more than they're talking about.
Yeah, well, it's the same guard. It's just this one guard.
Yeah, he knows more than he's telling, though.
Yeah, so records from Uber do verify this guy's story, that he where his movements were. So he looks like he's not involved in any kind of shenanigans at this point. However, her family is noticing some big red flags. Because they bought the story about her going to the airport at 5 a.m. But as they start thinking about it and listening to the Uber guy's story, they realize that that is a stupid thing for her to have done. Because, and it's out of character for Carla, because her flight is scheduled to leave at 1 p.m.
Yeah, that's way too early.
Exactly. And she is also not an early bird. She's more of like a night owl kind of person. And so she's not going to unnecessarily get up at 5 a.m. unless she's like legally required to do so.
Right.
Exactly. So like the 8:30 makes way more sense. And I totally get this too, because you know me, I would rather just stay up all night than like have to get up early enough to get somewhere at 5 a.m. I have to plan weeks in advance in order to make this happen. It's a huge deal for me. So I kind of feel Carla on this one. I don't understand why she would get up and go to the airport at 5 a.m. unless there was like a really good reason.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So her family is starting to put this together that this does not make sense. Now, the family began reaching out to Florida Senator Marco Rubio for help at this point.
Hopefully he's able to help them a little bit.
Yeah, fortunately, Marco Rubio does step in, and with his help, they were able to get the FBI involved in the case. And that's when things started heating up a little bit, from around a simmer to sort of a medium heat on this case. It's like terrible. It's really, really sad because this lady is like really kick-ass, and she's just a really great person, and obviously her family and friends love her. And the cops are just like, oh no, are like, she's fine.
Yeah, she's totes fine.
She's at the airport. Are y'all sure she's not home? Have you looked there? Like, that's how they're reacting here. They're not trying very hard to solve this crime.
Right.
Yes. So authorities at this point check Carla's phone records. And according to her cell phone data, her cell phone last pinged at the hotel. So authorities suspected that the perpetrator turned it off before taking her from the building. However, dun dun dun, the police still have not searched the hotel and do not at this point either.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. Wow. Exactly. Wow. That's how I felt. I was just like, no, you should look at it, right?
You would think so. I mean, wouldn't that be like the first place you would look?
Yeah.
I mean,
you would think. So they start asking more questions about Carla's disappearance. And they end up talking to this 30-year-old hotel security guard named Bismarck Espinoza Martinez. And he was there with all of the answers.
Of course he was.
Yes, he told authorities all about Carla leaving on November 28th and that she said she was on her way to fly back to Miami. Yeah, he's the one that told them that she was in the Uber. And he continues to tell this story. And at the time, like, the police don't completely have reason to doubt the security guard, even though her family keeps saying that she would not do that. It was clear, though, that something had happened to Carla. So, police launched a full search for her, finally. However, it wasn't the best search. So, they're kind of searching for her. They did cover some ground, but they didn't get a warrant for the hotel right away. And this later comes back to haunt the case, because they kind of missed out on gathering some stuff. And also on finding some stuff.
That's not good.
Yes. Now, authorities didn't go in to search Carla's hotel room until December 2nd, about 6 days after she disappeared. When police finally entered the clean-looking hotel room, they made an alarming discovery. While it looked clean, crime scene techs found traces of blood everywhere.
That sounds about right.
Yes. And additionally, police cadaver dogs indicated the presence of human remains.
Of course they did.
Yes. And authorities determined the room must have been cleaned multiple times to hide the blood evidence so well. To be fair, it's been 6 days, though, and there's been a lot made about this room cleaning situation because some people, including the family at various points, have believed that there were more than one perpetrator involved because the hotel room was cleaned so well. But I have to wonder if part of it could have just been how long it went in between the search. Because if it's a hotel room, depending on how long people are staying there, it's possible that it was cleaned more than once by the staff.
Yeah, I mean, if people are coming in and out, it's possible it got cleaned every day.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, it's not like you bleach the entire hotel room every time you come in and out of it. But it's also possible that since it's seeming like the murderer might work for the hotel, they could have let themselves in to do some extra bonus cleaning too.
And nobody would have blinked an eye.
Yeah, because it doesn't seem strange when you're just cleaning up at your hotel.
Exactly.
And it might depend on what time of day they were in there too.
True.
Yeah, so the police though at this point are like, this has been cleaned a lot. Oops. Now, after days of wondering what happened to Carla, her family got the worst news possible because authorities finally found her half-naked body. This was also 6 days after the crime.
It's sad that it took that long.
So police search dogs discovered Carla's body on December 3rd, 2018, almost a week after she disappeared. She was wrapped in plastic bags and partially buried in the wooded area behind the hotel. Now, this really confused me at first because a lot of the reporting on this just says she was found buried outside the hotel, partially buried. And I was thinking, the fuck? Like, how would you not notice that? Like, wouldn't you notice, like, a half-buried body at your hotel?
I sure would.
But the reason why they didn't is because there's, like, a whole bunch of mountains and, like, a whole forest back there. Like, it's a scenic area. And so the murderer had just kind of drug her into those trees and then partially buried her.
I see. So there's some cover.
Yeah, there's a little bit of cover. Although, to be honest, if the police had actually gone out there and searched, especially with the help from the dogs, it wasn't that far away. It's like 400 yards. So it's not like out of the realm of possibility. They should have probably found her within 1 to 2 days if they would have gone out there and searched that hotel to begin with.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of ridiculous.
Yes, it is.
And this is, again, the reason why I say that it kind of matters for the actual case later, because of the fact that they find her body so late. Because obviously there's been almost a week of decomposition in Costa Rica, where it is very hot and humid.
Yeah, you've lost a lot of evidence.
Yeah, so that's obviously bad. Now, the nightmare actually even worsened for the family because they rushed to see if the body belonged to Carla. Because obviously the police are saying, we're pretty sure it's her because it's right there. But despite officials releasing her name to the media, they would not let the family come identify the body.
That's not cool.
Exactly. And like the family literally went, like they went to the place where her body was and they're like knocking on the door. Like, we want to see Carla. We want to identify Carla. And they were just like, nah.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
We need to do some more investigating first and you'll have to wait, which is just terrible, especially because they told the media they found her. So like her family is seeing this on the news and also getting like calls from reporters and stuff. And they're not even able to like see her or know like what happened to her or anything.
Yeah, that's terrible. That really has to suck.
Mm-hmm. Now, the family did not actually get to make an official ID until almost midnight on December 5th. So this is like almost 3 days later, if you consider that it's almost midnight. Her father made the official identification and he told her that he would always love her and asked her, quote, please fly. This place is not for you, unquote. Isn't that so sad?
It's heartbreaking, yeah. I mean, I can understand why he would say that, you know? Be like...
Yeah.
You know?
So, when she was found, police discovered all of her belongings in the area, which is why they thought it was her. That's, like, not just because of proximity, but because she had all of Carla's things. Including her phone, her passport, her jewelry, and other items. Now, obviously, you know, her phone, her jewelry, these are valuables. And she had other valuables with her as well. Pretty much everything she had in her possession was out there with her. Because of that, police were able to rule out robbery as a motive since nothing was taken. And it's especially a red flag. I mean, if you're trying to rob somebody, she had so many, like, obvious valuables on her. It just doesn't make sense.
Yep.
Now, fortunately, police would not have to look too hard for a suspect. They focused on that security guard, Martinez, almost immediately and took him into custody for questioning on December 4th.
Good.
Now, there's one tiny flaw with this. As we will discuss, I believe this guy did it. But one thing that kind of is like, man, this doesn't look too great, is that Bismarck Martinez is originally from Nicaragua. He was actually in Costa Rica illegally to work at different resort-type hotels. So it kind of makes a great scapegoat, if you think about it. I mean, if you're the Costa Rican authorities, they don't want tourism affected, and they try to downplay all these issues. Like, in researching Carla's death, I came across multiple instances where especially women had been attacked in Costa Rica. And the Costa Rican tourism board / authorities are all like, oh, Costa Rica's so safe. Oh, no. Like, this was an accident. I don't know what happened here. Like, that's not on us.
Yeah, we don't have any murders.
Yes, we don't have any murders at all. What? You should definitely come vacation here. It's not our fault. And so it does seem a little bit shady that they find, like, one illegal immigrant at the hotel and they're like, it's that guy.
That is true.
It's the, he's an immigrant. Like, oh no, he's already committed a crime. We better go get him. Which sounds really familiar, but
it does.
That's what they are going with. Now, to be fair, we're going to see some shady stuff about him. So you be the judge and the jury, I guess, in your own hearts. But personally, after researching, I do think that he is the one that did it. Originally from Nicaragua, Martinez got a job working security at the hotel with the help of Carla Gonzalez, the lady who works for housekeeping.
Convenient.
Yeah, she was a family friend. Now, while he was working at the hotel, he was reportedly staying in the room next to our Carla's, Carla Stefaniak, our victim. So he would have actually been right next door nearby. So, I mean, if you're Carla and there's a guard next to you, you're probably thinking, woohoo.
Yeah, super safe.
I'm super safe. And that would be the prime person to go ask to get you a water, right?
You would think so.
In theory. So that's where he was staying. Additionally, he was allegedly on duty at the time of the crime. So that's also important. Now, the housekeeper, Carla Gonzalez, came forward and told police a piece of tantalizing information. This is what makes them look at Martinez. She claimed that Martinez had confessed the murder to his wife. The wife then called his mother, told her that he could do the murder. Then the mother called Carla Gonzalez, this is the housekeeper, and told her that her son had confessed.
Damn.
Yeah, so we have like a circular weird kind of confession going on. So she tells the police this. Additionally, a Mexican tourist came forward and said that he saw Martinez on the day that all this happened because he checked in late on the day that Carla officially, like, disappeared. So, like, the night before she was supposed to fly home.
Right.
He checked in that night super late, and he said that Martinez's clothes were wet and dirty, and also they had mud on them.
That's suspicious.
Yeah, so he also came forward, and he ended up testifying at the trial.
Good.
Now, authorities sent Carla's body off for an autopsy, and the medical examiner determined that she died from blunt force trauma and 7 stab wounds. The knife wounds went so deep that they actually damaged her spinal cord.
Damn.
One of those stab wounds was a defensive wound to the palm of her hand.
She put up a fight?
She did. She fought really hard, but that's also super gross.
Yeah.
Now, some issues in the investigation occurred during the autopsy. First, the medical examiner washed Carla's body before examining her because she was covered in mud from being partially buried.
But wouldn't you lose evidence by doing that?
Yes. And as we've watched on many a Bones episode, if they do have to, like, do anything to the body, they always collect the stuff to try to get evidence.
That's right.
And also, wouldn't you swab everything?
You would think so.
You would think so. This is not old. This is 2018 murder here. So it's not like this is like the 80s where they weren't sure about DNA or something. Like, this is 2018. And this guy just like washes her off.
Yeah.
As like step one.
That's a mistake.
Yes. Now, I want to reiterate again, this is before they took samples according to sources. The medical examiner also claimed that Carla's body was too decomposed to gather some of the evidence, including fluids that might be connected to a perpetrator. They took swabs of her mouth, vagina, and anal cavity eventually, as well as samples from under her nails. However, the lab could not identify any fluids, which makes sense because, I mean, the body had been outside for almost a week and then washed at least once by this medical examiner.
Yeah.
However, the medical examiner did apparently discover some DNA from under her fingernails, and authorities say the DNA matched someone, but they never really disclosed who it was to the media. However, at trial, Martinez's lawyer claimed that it wasn't from him. But it's unclear if that's true or not, because of the way the reporting is, it's kind of funky.
Yeah, that's weird. I mean, you would think it was him, right?
Yeah, because the police don't seem to think it's any kind of suspect. I did kind of wonder if maybe they ruled out whoever it was, because it's like not confirmed to the media if it is Martinez or not, or if it's someone else, who it would be. So, I mean, it's possible that it could be someone who's like in the investigation, possibly. I mean, that does happen, but although it is under her nails, so if that was under it, it seems kind of like defensive,
absolutely,
kind of seems kind of defensive.
Mm-hmm.
But again, her body was washed a bunch, so we don't know for sure what's going on with this.
Yeah.
According to his attorney, though, that match should rule out Martinez, while the victim's family and their criminal attorney, because they did they did hire a criminal attorney to represent them as well.
Good.
Because of the mishandling of the case.
Yeah, of course.
They believe that it indicates that he had help. So they think that this is just DNA from another murderer who participated in the crime. So Stefaniak's family continue to press authorities to look for other assailants because they believe that Martinez could not possibly have acted alone. And they have reasons for this. They actually think that up to 5 to 7 people could have participated in the crime and the cover-up.
Damn.
Yeah, and I think at one point the police may have been examining this theory as well. But part of the reason why they think that there was something, at least with the cover-up, is that Carla was a really curvy girl. Like, she had a lot of muscles on her, but she also had, like, a really curvy figure. And she weighed in at about 195 pounds, which is 88 kilograms. So she wasn't, like, a really tiny person. So if he had to move her by himself, that could be really, really hard. So they're thinking maybe he had help moving her. I'm of the opinion that he just moved her in a cart.
Yeah, that could also be.
Yeah, because he's not like a scrawny dude. Like, he's like a muscular type dude. I think he had other, I mean, he's like the kind of guard that, he's the kind of guy that you would look at and be like, oh, you're a security guard.
Right.
You know, like how bouncers look. So
yeah, kind of a burly dude.
Yeah, so he's not like a super skinny dude. I think it's completely conceivable that he could have moved her in some kind of cart.
Yeah, sure.
But either way, that's not something that they talked about as much, how he could have committed it on his own, but the family just doesn't think that he did it by himself.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, he did move the body 400 yards away from the hotel, so that would be kind of hard to do without being noticed. Again, unless you had a cart, possibly.
Agreed.
Despite identifying Martinez early, police initially let him go and did not make an arrest for months. So long that people started to worry that Carla's case would go officially unsolved.
That's not cool.
Yeah, and in fact, her story was featured on the Investigation Discovery show Still a Mystery, which is a show about crimes that are not solved.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like, I actually was surprised when I saw that. I had picked this case out while I was just looking for cases that happened in Costa Rica. And at first, I was not going to do Carla's case because it was like a tourism case, and at first I was like, not sure if I wanted to do that, but then I just really liked Carla, so I decided to do the case. And as I was researching, I found the Still a Mystery episode, and I was like, oh no. Like, I do try to stay away from the ones on the shows, although we have done a couple.
Yeah.
But I was already like halfway into research, and I was not doing it. I was not starting over on a new case, so.
Oh, yeah.
I still did this one, and I did watch that episode. Her family's on it, and her friends, and they are all amazing, and it will make you cry if you watch it. Her dad has like a whole speech when he identifies the body. So, so sad. Like, yeah. Like, really, like, he had me tearing up hard. So, maybe check that out if you have Investigation Discovery. All right, so because they were having so much trouble with this investigation, that is when her family actually hired that criminal lawyer to help with them, and they were supposed to act as, like, the family's investigator and to really, like, push for some kind of criminal charges. Also, they started the hashtag justice for Carla to put pressure on authorities to keep pursuing the case. And this actually worked because they had a lot of people, like, tweeting and posting pictures and putting hashtag justice for Carla, and it really raised a lot of awareness about the fact that there was a problem in Costa Rica. And also, one thing that was cool that the family and friends started doing was linking up other cases that were happening in Costa Rica. Like, anything bad that happened in Costa Rica, they were like, hashtag justice for Carla. So it started to raise the visibility. Yeah, like, they were super smart. It raised the visibility both of her case and the fact that Costa Rica wasn't doing anything about such a tragic murder. That is obviously a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the authorities finally arrested Martinez in July 2019, about 7 months after they find Carla's body. And at this point, they announced that Carla's murder was a sexually motivated attack and described the following scenario. Carla left her room to get a bottle of water and approached Martinez. She probably felt safe with him because he was hired to protect her and the other hotel guests. That is, like, one of the grossest parts of this crime, is that he was literally being paid to keep her safe. However, Martinez took advantage of the dark hotel and Carla's trust to force his way inside her hotel room. There, he attacked her. He tried to rape Carla, but she fought him hard. And remember, I told you she was muscular. She doesn't really look that muscular unless you, like, really stare at her. Her legs, though, are, like, her thighs are, like, obviously visually muscular. And, like, I tend to have, like, some power in my thighs, too, so I totally get it. I imagine she kicked the shit out of this guy.
Like, good for her.
That's what I'm thinking. And but she definitely had, like, her arms up and stuff, too, because that's how he stabbed her hand.
Yeah.
During the assault, Martinez actually had also grabbed a heavy object from the room, and he struck Stefaniak in the head. But she kept fighting. Even after he pulled out the knife, she fought. He stabbed her 3 times in the neck and 3 times in the face. And then she also had that hand wound from throwing her arms up in front of her for protection. In total, he plunged the knife into her 7 times. Unfortunately, the assault was too much for Carla, and she did pass away. Rather than leaving the body to be discovered in the room, Martinez wrapped Carla in plastic and transported her out of the building about 400 yards outside the hotel. Behind the Villa Le Mas, the terrain turns to woods and mountains, so he took her there. He dug a shallow grave and buried her body. That night, the Mexican tourist arrived, saw him all stanky and wet and muddy for no reason because he had been out there burying a body. Based on this version of events, prosecutor David Padilla Mora charged Martinez with aggravated robbery and homicidio simple, which is second-degree murder and carries a sentence of 12 to 18 years. Now, obviously, 12 to 18 years is very, very short for this kind of murder.
Yes,
in everyone's opinions, but apparently this prosecutor and later the judge. So, Stefaniak's family is like, hell no. We are upset by this because that is bullshit because he tried to rape her and he murdered her violently and disposed of her body and what the fuck.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Like, I feel like all of us are. Like, I know in the U.S. we have long sentences and a lot of times that's bullshit. We have a lot of people that should not be in prison. We all know that. But this guy is a piece of shit.
Yes, he is.
And he's dangerous. Like, this is not the same. It's not the same as, you know what I mean? I feel like people know what I mean. We're all in this together. This guy is just really, really bad because he's in a position of trust and he used that trust to commit this murder. That is what makes him so dangerous. So Carla's family starts pushing for these charges to be changed. And they even got their Finding Carla Facebook page to help with this. They started asking the followers to write to different officials and different people to try to get Carla's charges changed. And it actually worked.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. The charge they wanted is called homicidio calificado, and that is first-degree murder. So at first, they sort of succeeded, and the new charges were announced, but the trial would prove to be an uphill battle for justice. He went on trial in February 2020, right before COVID, in front of a panel of 3 judges, because instead of having a jury, they have judges there. These 3 judges were named Jose Alberto Vargas, Eduardo Rojas, and Simon Gideon. Carla's father, Carlos, gave an emotional testimony at the trial, asking for justice for his daughter. He actually became so overwhelmed that he turned to Martinez and urged him to confess, saying that he would if he were a real man. That is a paraphrase. He was way more in-depth with his description of his non-manliness. On the other hand, the defense claimed insufficient evidence and said that Carla's body was too decomposed to be sure how she died. They also tried to say that DNA found under her nails couldn't be matched to Martinez. Now, I kind of get what they're saying about there not being that much evidence because there were issues in the investigation because the police sucked so hard. I mean, they waited so long to get the warrant. They weren't able to collect as much evidence. And then, obviously, we've already mentioned that Martinez was an immigrant, and he was an illegal immigrant. So, it makes a great scapegoat to save tourism.
Yeah.
But, prosecutors in Stefaniak's family believe that the evidence presented at trial is conclusive enough to point at him. And they point at things like the confession, his movements. They had surveillance footage to show where he was at different times of the hotel that were, like, in line with the crime theory and, like, made him look really, really guilty, like, once they looked at that. He also told a bunch of different stories that didn't line up with the evidence when they initially brought him in. They never really said what those stories were, but he did try to explain away his involvement multiple times with different stories, which is obviously a red flag. They had several witness statements from other people at the hotel, including people that had no reason to be telling them these things, and they didn't know this guy. So, like, there's no reason for them to just make that shit up.
Yeah.
And then they also had that potential DNA that is confusing because they don't really say who it matches or if it doesn't match anyone. For me, this is not evidence, so, like, obviously not to be, like, presented at trial. But the thing that kind of made me convinced that he did it is that there's a photo of him at the trial smiling as an officer takes off his handcuffs. And he's, like, really, really relaxed and just, like, smiling like it's no big deal that he's in court for murder. And that was the moment that really convinced me, even though, again, that's not evidence, so you can't use it at the trial. Because if you are an immigrant who's being framed for murder in a country that's using you as a scapegoat, and you know you're going because you're being framed, like, that's how it works. Like, you're not, you know that you have a reason to be afraid here. I don't feel like you're going to be in court just being like, hey guys, happy smile time.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, don't they always say that whenever you are, like, being interrogated for a murder, if you did it, you're way more relaxed than if you didn't do it? Because you're, like, you know you're being, like, set up.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know if you can really say that or not. I'm normally not a whole, like, in his eyes I saw true evil kind of person. Because I think that's usually kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
But I do think body language is really important.
No.
After this trial, the panel of three judges found Martinez guilty of second-degree murder. Or as they call it in Costa Rica, homicidio simple. In February 2020. However, they acquitted him of the aggravated robbery charge because there wasn't enough evidence to show he stole from Carla, which kind of makes sense because all of her fancy stuff was there.
Yeah.
Stefaniak's family asked for 50 years in prison, while the prosecutor requested 18 years in prison. Now, at first I was like, what? Because I literally had read the defense asked for 18 years, and then I realized it was the prosecutor, and I thought, the fuck?
Yeah, it would make more sense if it was the defense.
Yeah, but then, if you remember from earlier, 18 years is the maximum sentence for homicidio simple. At sentencing, Martinez received just 16 years in prison. So instead of giving him the full 18, the judges were like, nah, we'll go with 16. He also has to pay her family a restitution of $53,000, but I don't know how that's going to happen. The hotel is supposed to also be on the hook for that restitution, and I would 100% think they should have to pay that shit. Fuck that hotel, because they did some shady shit.
Yep.
We're going to talk about the shady shit briefly. I'm not going to keep you on the line for that long for the shady shit, but you will want to know some of this shady shit. Her family expressed extreme anguish over the short sentence, and her father Carlos told CR Oy, "For me, this is another day of frustration, sadness, and pain," unquote. Overall, her family and friends thought the second-degree murder charge was insufficient and believed that Costa Rican authorities wanted to downplay Carla's murder so tourists wouldn't be scared off. Which I totally think that they are right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I still kind of want to go to Costa Rica, but I do think this is bullshit.
Yeah.
Both the prosecution and the defense planned to appeal the sentence, which I don't know what you're doing if you're the defense. I mean, didn't you win at this point? Like, be serious. Carla's family also sued Airbnb and Ville Maz for failing to do background checks, no background checks, y'all, or warn clients that there could be risks because they don't do background checks and just hire random dudes. The case is still ongoing. Now, Airbnb removed this hotel from their listings, and they don't appear willing to do any more than that. Meanwhile, the family also uncovered that the Ville Maz Hotel, they're part of the shady shit, is that they also had been removing the bad reviews, and they had been paying for, like, good reviews. So, like, all those 5-star reviews that made Carla feel so safe,
they were fake.
Were
as
like
hell.
Fake as hell. I mean, there probably were some real ones, but, like, there was a lot of fake ones, and they were just, like, they were obscuring the fact that there had been other issues at this hotel. And, like, that's why the family is so mad that she wasn't warned or something, because if they had left the real reviews up there, she would have known not to book there.
Yeah.
Alright, so, family and friends had held, like, a small memorial service for Carla right after she was found, but they didn't hold a full celebration of life for her until January 26, 2019. And at that celebration of life, they actually had it by the sea in Hallandale Beach, and they threw white sunflowers into the ocean because they were Carla's favorite flower. They talked about her, and they displayed their favorite pictures of her. You can actually watch a video of this on the Finding Carla Facebook page. I watched most of the video for research purposes. It's, like, kind of sad because it's basically a funeral. But also, like, most of it is just someone walking around with the camera. And they do a couple of interviews with her brother and her dad, but they kind of just reiterate a lot of the information that's available on the news. But still, it's like, I kind of felt like I needed to watch it because I'm doing Carla's story here, so I didn't want to, like, skip over something that was so important as, like, a part of the story just because it's, like, a celebration of her, and I'm trying to be honoring her and stuff.
Yeah.
Obviously, she's never going to be forgotten, and it's such a sad story, especially because the police believe that she was actually murdered right around the time she was born. Because if you recall, her birthday is, like, the day they discovered her missing. But she went missing the night before, and the police think that she was killed at sometime around 1 a.m. on her actual birthday, which is actually when she was born.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy symmetry.
Just insane. Yeah. So that is the story of Carla Stefaniak. If you want to hear more stories like Carla's, please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/badaxpod, which is linked in the show notes. We have several other cases already up there that are bonus episodes that you can listen to right now. We are still a fledgling podcast, and so we appreciate your support. We're like a little baby podcast, and we're trying to like crawl up the mountain of podcasting. And so, yeah. So you obviously are just the wind beneath our little fledgling wings. I don't know why we're crawling. I guess because our wings don't work yet. We need more wind. We need more wind under them. I don't know. We also have a Buy Me a Coffee at buymeacoffee.com. No one's done it yet. So, I don't know. Like, I just forget to tell people about it. Now, if you would like to also support the show, but you're like, I don't have any money, Danielle. I totally understand. I also do not have a lot of money. So, you could like and subscribe wherever you listen and also rate us. We are on Apple Podcasts. We like ratings. Apparently, there are other places you can rate your podcasts. I did not know that until literally today. So, if you use one of those places, we would really like a rating. It would be super great.
Yeah, give us 5 stars.
Yes, 5 stars would be really great. I wasn't going to tell them to do that because I'm not like the boss of your life, but I really appreciate it. You can also connect with us on social media. We are most active on Instagram, but I do post sometimes on Twitter and Facebook. I'm trying to do it more regularly, but being honest, I totes forget. Like, I just do Instagram and then I'm like, I'm done. And then usually about 12 hours later, I think, oh no. I was supposed to post that on Twitter and Facebook, but then it's like weird because I'm 12 hours behind the other post. So I don't know. We also have an email at badaxpod@gmail.com. We would love your suggestions and feedback. I'm also accepting cleaning tips at the email right now. I am really bad at cleaning and I've been cleaning all day today and I have not finished cleaning. I had this problem where I can't focus and I just start a bunch of different cleaning tasks. And then I finish like 2 of them and everything else is half done. So if you have a tip for not doing that, that would be great. I would really appreciate that to help me actually clean my house in a normal way. Aaron, you want to tell them about the website?
Yeah, we have a great website over at badaxpod.com. Go check it out.
Yay. Yes, yay. There's a beautiful spooky tree there that I would love for you to see.
Hey, Twisted listeners. I'm Cindy.
And I'm Diva.
And we are Twisted Listers, a weekly podcast about murder.
And lists.
Each week, we choose a new topic and we cover 10 cases all under that common theme.
We've done incredible fun topics like family annihilators.
Cannibals.
Killer grandmas.
And we've also done survivor stories for those of you that like a more uplifting tale. So if this sounds like your kind of party, join us every Monday wherever you like to listen to podcasts. So yeah, we hope you tune in. And we hope that you stay
off
our lists. Bye.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. We will see you very soon. We hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week. Bye-bye.
Bye.